Start the day out with that. Doesn't matter what happens the rest of the day. John chapter 15. It's Memorial Day weekend, and this is the time when we remember soldiers that never made it home. And I am one who is thankful. I'm not a liberal. I don't know if you know that about me. Liberals, and I'm going to show you something here in a little bit that's going to make you mad, but liberals tend to despise the military, despise soldiers, despise those in law enforcement, and that irritates me. And I think we ought to be appreciative of those who serve our country and those that, especially those who pay the price. I think we ought to be appreciative of that. That is displayed, if you don't believe in that, then I'm going to read it right out of the Bible to you, all right? John chapter 15, are you there? Say amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I want you to think about that. I am the vine, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, underline that in your Bible, for without me ye can do nothing. Boy, that's true, amen? I don't know how you're living your life, but I can't do it without Christ. I can't do it. I can't minister without him. I can't do the things that I do without him. I can't make it through life without him. And if you choose to live another way, that is your choice. If you choose drugs, alcohol, you choose the party lifestyle, you choose whatever it is you choose, how you get through life, that's your business. Those of us sitting here, we've decided that Christ is the only way and we can't make it without him. Amen. So he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's hell. That's a picture that God... Listen, Jesus just told you about hell. That's what he said. And the truth of it is, there are people who come in, they'll try a little bit of what Christianity is all about. They'll try the lifestyle a little bit. They'll come to church, listen to a few sermons. They'll do some religious things for a while, decide it's not for them, and they'll buzz out. They have chosen to not to continue to abide in the vine of Jesus Christ. And if that is the case, then what happens is they are withered just like vines who do not do well, branches that do not do well. They're cut off, they're cast aside, they're withered. When they're all good and dried up, they're taken, any good farmer, any good husbandman will know this, they'll take all the bad branches and everything else, let them sit for a while, dry up real good, and then when the time's right, they'll burn them all and get rid of them. Anybody who chooses to not... You can choose not to live in Christ if you want. That's your choice. I'm telling you, there is the result of that is eternal fire. Never escape it. So in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 10, underline verse 10, John 15, 10. John 15, 10 shows you the difference between you being required to go and keep all the Old Testament laws. You can't. He's not telling you to go back, and if you can keep all of the Old Testament laws, then you'll make it to heaven. That is not what he's saying here. Look at what he says. He said, keep my commandments. You know what Jesus' commandments were? There was only two of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. You keep these, you fulfill the law. He said, as I have kept my Father's commandments, and Jesus kept the commandments. He said, all I'm asking you to do is love God and then love the person that lives in the house next to you. Love the people across the street. Love the people. I'm going to talk about Linda Carmichael for a minute. You know what she told me? Her neighbors now. I'm going to make church people feel guilty for a minute. Her neighbors have been there for her in a way. I'm just amazed. They have been there for her. While she was gone down to Arkansas, one of her neighbors has a lawn service that comes and cuts their grass. They paid the bill so they cut her grass while she was gone. You don't mind me saying that, do you, Linda? It's too late now. Can I tell you that her lost neighbors are acting out what church people are supposed to be doing? Now, I'm not saying you're guilty because you didn't pay for Linda's grass cutting bill. There are other ways for us to be good neighbors to people. And if lost people can act this way, it's supposed to be church people acting that way to lost people. Amen. That's not the message, though. I'll get to it in a minute. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now look at verse 13. Here it is right here. It's Memorial Day weekend sermon right here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Man will lay down his life for his friends. As far as I know, every man and woman that joins law enforcement join with the prospect that they're willing to lay their life down for the protection and safety of the communities that they are called to serve and protect. As far as I know, unless there's some doofus that joins to get benefits, everybody that joins the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, National Guard, everybody that joins with the understanding that they will be called out to a forward area with a gun in their hand to defend and protect people at the expense of their own life. And like I say, unless you're some doofus that just joined to get the benefits and a free college experience, and you didn't know that you was going to have to actually shoot the rifle, unless that's you, you join to lay your life down for people, whether they were Americans or not. Lay your life down for people who couldn't do it for themselves. Not everybody can protect themselves. Not everybody was born to be a soldier. But I thank God for those that were. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And Christ laid down his life for me. Fought a battle that I could not fight. In fact, I'll say this. Fought a battle that I've been fighting all my life and lost every time I fought it. Fought a battle for me that I could not win myself with an enemy that was greater than me. Fought that battle and laid down his life for me. Our nation's history, I'm going to give you a little history lesson, is full of brave men who stood up against the bad guy. When this nation started, it was King George. Those of you who are listening from Great Britain, I cannot apologize for history. We were not being treated right. We were having our rights and our liberties usurped and abused. We were not being treated right. We begged to be heard by the king, and the king refused. So we had men who were willing to lay down their life, even though they knew there was a great possibility that in laying down their life, they would never actually see the freedoms that they were fighting to protect. So they did it for their posterity, which means us. You and I, in this country, are living and enjoying the very freedom that men laid down their life for 250 some odd years ago. They never saw the freedom that you and I experience, but we're the beneficiaries of that freedom. They stood up against the bad guy and they said, "We're not going to let him hurt you." The bad guy went against what? Let me ask you a question. Before December 7th, 1941, what did the American military, or specifically the American Navy, do to the Empire of Japan? Not a thing. Not a thing. We, before December 7th, 1941, America was content to not get involved with what Adolf Hitler was doing to Great Britain and what Japan was trying to do to China. We decided we were not going to get involved. They picked the fight. Killed 64, I think, of our servicemen who all they were doing was standing watch on a ship waiting to go out to sea for really no reason. That's all they were doing. And those men lost their lives. And we had boys from all over the country who went and joined the military. One, several of our own here, Buster Montgomery, 17 years old, lied about his age, went and joined the U.S. Navy, got on a Navy submarine. He told me he would sit in his bunk and listen as those Japanese mines would be going off all around that ship, knowing that just the next breath he took would be the last one. He'd be buried at sea. And it didn't happen. God saved him. God brought him out of there. And then God saved him here. But these were boys who, when the bad guy came after us, it ticked them off and they said, "We're going to go do something about it. We're going to do for the French what they were unable to do for themselves." The French Revolution had liberalized the nation of France so much that they were not capable of defending themselves against Adolf Hitler. Britain, however, stood up with a stiff upper lip while all their buildings are being bombed around them in the Blitz, right? Okay, kudos to you Brits now. Okay, that you got through the Blitz. But we had to go rescue the French from the bad guy. I don't like the bad guy. And I don't like bullies of any kind, including church ones. I don't like bully pulpits. And I don't like bully church pews. And if I ever find out somebody's a bully, I'm not going to like it. Amen. Bad guys in Asia. Kim Jong-il. Ho Chi Minh, Pol Pot. The killing fields of Cambodia. We had a family here a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, whose family was rescued from Cambodia. They were Cambodian in their lineage. I know a missionary from the Philippines, pastored a church in Cambodia. Pol Pot's brother went to that King James Independent Baptist Church in Cambodia. Pol Pot's brother was a born-again, Bible-believing, King James-only Christian. And Pol Pot was one of the most brutal murderers in history. And our boys went to stand up against people like him. Didn't do so well, but they stood up anyway. In recent history, people named Hussein, I don't know what it is about them. Osama bin Laden, ISIS. People who go after innocent people and brutalize them. It's an evil that we have not yet seen, but is creeping in and they're moving our way. Be ready to stand up against the bad guys. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. American soldiers are supposed to be the good guys. And I thank God for those that are. Now I know that there are soldiers who are very evil men. And they have done evil things. They did it in Vietnam. They did it in Cambodia. They've done it in Iraq. They've done it in Afghanistan. And I do not condone that kind of nonsense. But that detracts from the good young men that have gone over to nations to serve both our interest and help defend people who are picked on by bullies and evil men. Some people don't like the fact that our soldiers go over to other nations and get involved in their wars. And maybe it's not the wisest thing. I don't know. But I can tell you what's in me. When I see somebody picked on by somebody else, I want to get involved in it. I mean, if you were at a restaurant and you saw some guy just going at his wife in front of everybody, doesn't it make you want to go stand up and walk over to him and say, "Hey, it's about time somebody taught you some manners"? Turn to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18. Verse 31. "For who is God save the Lord?" That means there is no God except the Lord. "Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength." Now we're talking about standing up against the bad guy. There's a bad guy in everybody's life. It's the devil, devils going after you, picking at you, trying to destroy you, trying to destroy your home, trying to destroy our church, trying to destroy our community, our country. I'm about to get sick and tired of the bad guys. Amen? "So Lord, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Verse 33, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet." You know what that means? That's them mountain goats that can walk up and down on the side of a mountain and not ever fall off of it. You know what that means? That means God gives me the strength to not fall. "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up." You know what's at God's right hand, don't you? Listen to me. When you're thinking that you're not going to make it, get your Bible out. You know what will happen? You'll read something in here that'll tell you, "Oh yes, you are going to make it." Now see, I'm like you guys.
I'm just like you guys. I have my bad days. And on my bad days, there's something in here is telling me, Mike, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Give up. Quit. Don't keep going. Shut it all down. And on those days, I have to get my Bible out. And I have to read some things that tells me, Mike, you are going to make it. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. Mike, I'm going to make it for you. Mike, I'm going to hold you up. Mike, I'm going to keep you going. Mike, I'm going to do it for you. While you can't do it, I'm going to do it for you, Mike. Keep going. And I have to make a decision. Am I going to listen to my emotions? Am I going to listen to those devils and my weakness? Am I going to listen to the Word of God? And it's always the Word of God that holds me up. Some days when you see me, you may not recognize that I'm a mess. But some days I am. I'm a mess. Some days I'll admit it. And it's God holding me up. It's God holding me up by His right hand. Amen. Where was I? What verse was that? That was good. What verse is that? 35. Who said 18? Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath hold me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Somebody say amen. You take this thing and wrap that around your heart and you go into battle. And our battle is not with people. Listen. Don't taste. Now, the devil may choose to use somebody against you, but always keep in mind, they are not the real enemy. You may get rid of them by shooting them. And the devil will pick somebody else to stand in their place. Amen. What you do is you go after the chief. You get tired of fighting a battle, go after the chief. Go after the principality, the power, the ruler of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who you go after. You go after the spirits, and the only way to do that is through prayer, Bible reading. Prayer, going hungry, read your Bible some more. Pray some more, get some more hungry, and read your Bible some more. And all of a sudden, devils are just fleeing the scene. They can't take it anymore because God has girded you with strength unto the battle. And nobody can take you down. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. I want you to take that now and think about that. We're talking about somebody that's brave. And you may not be that person. And yet God makes you that person. God girds you with strength. God lifts you up. God establishes you. He gives you the next. I mean, I've seen you do this. Boy, I'd like to get my hands on that person. Right? Now God's saying, the person you're after is not, that's not who you're after. You're after the devil that's behind them. I'm going to give you their necks. How Paul ended the book of Romans? Romans chapter 16. May the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now we got a battle to face. And we need strong leaders to help us fight those battles. I went to God that God would raise us up some good men in this church that would fight battles for people that cannot fight them for themselves. I mean, you've heard me say this. A lot of you carry weapons in this church. You're sitting on a gun right now. And yet, you're not fighting battles for those around you who cannot fight for themselves. We need, when the battle starts, do we need people like this?
Now you might be saying, now Mike, he's not president anymore. Why don't you quit picking on him? Yeah, but maybe we just need to be reminded not to vote on the next one. Or maybe we need somebody like this. Amen? By the way, the autopsy report of Charlton Heston when he died, the autopsy report said we had to pry a gun from his cold, dead fingers. That was a joke. He's the one that came up with that. You can have my gun when you pry it. Never mind. Turn your Bible to Exodus 17. Let's run through some battles very quickly. All right? I've only got 12 more places to go in Scripture. Come on now. Forget about the barbecue. Forget about the potato salad. Forget about the ball game. You came to church for what? Huh? Church. Came to church for church. Exodus 17. Look at this. Amalek's the bad guy. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now I want to tell you something. We need some people in this church that will hold up the rod of God today. The rod of God is the Bible, the Word of God. We need some men and some women and some children that'll hold up the rod of God. Somebody say amen. So that Amalek does not prevail. He's the bad guy. And when that guy gets tired, look at this. Verse 12. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now you listen to me. I get tired every now and then. I get tired. My goal is to preach 8 sermons a week, every week. And I get tired. And sometimes I don't feel good. And boy, it sure is nice when I've got some people that come to me and say, Pastor, is there anything we can do to help? Guys, sometimes you get tired. Ladies, sometimes you get tired. And boy, isn't it nice when your husband or your wife or even your children, when God moves in your children and they come and they say, can we help hold things up for you? Because I know you've been fighting a battle. I know you've been fighting a battle. And our hands get weak. Is there anything we can do to help hold things up? Because we're going to win this battle. Let me tell you something. Defeat, are you listening to me? The battles that we're fighting, defeat's not an option. It's not an option. We must win. We must. In Joshua chapter 10. Boy, I like this one. Joshua, I'm going to run through this, some of this very quickly. In Joshua 10, 12 through 14, Joshua was so into the battle and so into defeating those 5 kings that he was fighting against, he saw the sun going down. And it made him mad. Because he was winning, and he knew as soon as the sun went down, then the enemies would go into hiding, and he would not be able to chase them down and win. So in the heat of the battle, he's watching the sun go down, and he says to himself, I'm not gonna win this if that sun goes down. Sun, stand still. Moon, hold your place. You're not going to move until I fight this battle and I win. And we need some people, men and women, even children, that'll be bold and be ready to win the battle and not give up and not use excuses. Well, the sun's going down. I guess we'll have to quit and put this off for another day. Why don't you just like Joshua just say, you know what, son? Don't move until I'm done fighting. Can you imagine? You don't see anywhere in this story where God said, now Joshua, if you'll tell the sun to stop moving, I'll stop moving for you. That is not what happened. Joshua is a man like you and I, like passions. Just a person. And yet, he knows that losing the battle is not an option. And he's running out of time. See, you know what he did? He just extended time. You know what I think happened? The entire universe came to a stop. Here's a man, in my opinion, stopped the procession of time itself so he could win the battle. You know why? Losing is not the option. Am I getting to you? Joshua chapter 10 later on, talking about giving them the necks of the battle, the necks. They took the five kings out, and Joshua told his captains to go stand on their necks. So they went and stood on their necks. And Joshua said, thus shalt be strong, be of courage. Be of good courage and be strong. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. I want to ask you a question. Who in here is fighting battles? Don't raise your hand. But who's listening to me that's fighting battles in their own heart? Who is it that's fighting battles in their marriage? Who is it that's fighting battles? Listen to the preacher. Young people, this is for you. Who's fighting battles against their own sins? Who's fighting battles with their children? Spiritually. Defeat is not an option. Quitting and giving up is not an option. We had a lady in this church years and years ago when I was young. She brought her and her daughter faithfully every service. Her husband never would come, and her husband's mother began to work behind the scenes because she did not like her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter coming to this church. So she began to work and work and work with little Jezebel, right? And her husband finally put it to her, it's either that church or me. She chose her husband. She quit. She lost. While her husband probably could have been saved, she decided to give in and quit. Let me tell you something. I love everybody in my life, but there isn't a single person in this world that I want to lose my soul to. Not a one. Quitting is not the option here. God has given you the necks of your enemies. Be strong and have good courage. Amen. Judges. Judges 16. Here's a man. This is Memorial Day, right? Let's remember a man who fought a battle. His name was Samson. And they're being led to the temple of Dagon. The last thing that Samson said. By the way, 3,000 people sitting in the roof of this temple over him. You know what that represents to me? All the powers of heaven that are working against you right now. And when I say heaven, I don't mean the good part of heaven. I mean the evil part. The principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness, they all of them, seems like sometimes they'll work against us, won't they? Seems like hell itself is coming down on us. And yet here's one man, Samson, who said, last word Samson ever said, "Let me die with the Philistines." We had guys, let me move ahead. We had guys on D-Day that when they opened the tailgates of those amphibious vehicles, we had guys that rushed out to take the bullets for the guys behind them. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I understand that kind of bravery, because I'm not that brave. But guys like that deserve to have their name memorialized. So does that one. He should be remembered as being the one who, like Samson, said, "Let me die with my enemies." Thank you, Jared. Jared went. Jesus on the cross got, the Bible says that he made a show of his enemies openly on the cross. In other words, every devil in hell climbed on him, and Jesus said, "Come on, bring it on." And he nailed him to his cross. He defeated him at the cross when he died. Liberals hate warriors. I found some quotes yesterday. John Daly, here's a guy that says, "Real freedom will come when U.S. soldiers in Iraq turn their guns on their superiors." This is an English professor at a college. What was it Reg said, Professor Clapjaw? Bill Ayers said, "I think Bowie Bergdahl, if he deserted, is a hero. I think throughout history we should build monuments to the unknown deserters." Like Bill Clinton. Liberals hate soldiers. Salon Magazine, their website, Justin Doolittle said, "Stop thanking the troops for me. No, they don't protect our freedoms." Jerk. I think we ought to take every liberal in America and send them to a forward area and put a gun in their hand. Now, if they hate soldiers, they hate the cross. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We have a mighty captain who stood up against the bad guys because you couldn't. Our soldier boys rescued France in World War II. Our soldier boys saved South Korea from being overtaken by a communist dictator. North Korea right now is the absolute
biggest hell pit to live in this entire world. And our soldier boys saved South Korea from becoming that. Our soldier boys tried to save South Vietnam the same way. And if it wasn't for probably stupid politicians who had their hands tied, we might have won that. Sometimes we don't get to know how evil some of these very evil dictators in this world are. But when our soldiers first went to Iraq and Saddam Hussein went on the run, our soldiers were the heroes in Iraq because those people had lived under that for years. Defeating the Taliban, defeating ISIS, wherever ISIS, because when ISIS is allowed to thrive in the Middle East, they'll come over here. Now, you may not like what I just said. Your politics may be different. I don't care. But we've got soldiers that stand ready to do something for you that you cannot or are unwilling to do for yourself. They deserve a thank you. And we have a Savior who deserves an eternity of praise for taking our enemies to His cross. Amen. Stand up against the bad guys. Stand up for people, our brothers and our sisters who are dealing with the bad guys. Stand with them. And be like Aaron and her and say, I know you're tired. I'll stand with you. We've already had a good prayer time. I want you to bow your head, though. Put all your stuff down. We haven't left yet. Okay? I haven't said anything, not going to. There's people sitting in this room this morning that are facing the bad guy, and they're not doing so well, and they need people. Even if they don't know it, they need people to stand up for them. And so maybe this morning you could just pray for somebody. Even if you don't know who it is, just say, God, I'll stand for whoever, Lord, this morning. Whoever is under attack, whoever, Lord, of my brethren, my people, whoever is facing the bad guy, Father, I'll stand for them and I'll fight for them. Because 6 months from now, a year from now, you'll be facing the bad guy. And you'll need somebody to stand with you. That's what church does. Father in heaven, I love this place. I love these people. I love them so much. Lord, because of what I know, God, I'm having a hard time. My people get under attack, God, it bothers me, makes me angry. So, Father, the spirits that are behind these attacks, God, Father, I want them gone. And if you have to stop time itself, if you have to cause the worlds to stop, Father, destroy the bad guys. Make them go. Make them leave. Leave my people alone. Father, just bless this morning. Thank you, God, for the men and the women that have stood bravely for this country. Father, their names, their memories, Father, should be honored by a grateful country. But Father, let us never forget the name of Jesus Christ, the greatest soldier ever, who fought the greatest battle ever and won in his own death. He won. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Lord, help us, dear God, to stand for one another, to fight for one another, to be a blessing for one another. Bless this church today, God. I know you love it more than I do. So, Father, bless your church here. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Amen. Come back. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock's a good time. Come back, be with us. Either join us here. I'd like to see you here, though. I'll be honest with you. Okay? And we're going to do something fun tonight. Okay? Is that all right? All right. Have us a little fun with the Word of God tonight. All right? You'll be blessed. I promise you. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Sterling, close us in prayer, please, sir. I love you.